Well, as I say, this is approximately the Bush doctrine, but there's a crucial difference. Acheson was describing policy, and he was describing it accurately. The National Security Strategy last September declared it as official policy. That's quite a difference. And that's why it led to shudders around the world, including the foreign policy elite within the United States as well, leading to the consequences I described earlier. Well, that's one thing that happened last September. The National Security Strategy was declared roughly in those terms, instantly criticized very harshly, even in Foreign Affairs, the main establishment journal. Another thing happened also in September as well. September was the onset of the midterm election campaign. Now, Karl Rove, one of the most important figures in Washington, reads polls. He, Bush's PR man, campaign manager, you read polls, and it was pretty obvious that in the midterm elections, the Republicans were going to get smashed. The reason is that on issues that matter to people, so socioeconomic issues, like where's my job, or, you know, like how am I going to get prescriptions, or that sort of thing, on that range of issues, the administration was extremely unpopular. It's perceived quite accurately as an administration that is committed to the interests of a very narrow sector of concentrated wealth and power, and that the rest of the population is basically none of its business. And those policies are unpopular. Well, you can't go into an election and have people pay attention to those issues. So it was recognized right away. There's one way to overcome that that anyone's ever figured out, and that is to frighten people, push the panic button. If you can frighten people, they may keep their preferences as far as issues are concerned, but they'll suppress them. They'll suppress them if they're frightened enough in favor of a protection against whatever threat is conjured up that's going to destroy them. And that's precisely what happened. In September, a huge propaganda campaign began, a government media propaganda campaign, which portrayed Saddam Hussein as not just a horrible guy, but an imminent threat to the survival of the United States, and also as involved in international terrorism and responsible for September 11th. It was in early September that Condoleezza Rice, National Security Advisor, got up and warned that the next evidence we might have about Saddam Hussein will be a mushroom cloud, a nuclear explosion, presumably in New York. Nobody in the region seemed particularly disturbed, including Israel and certainly its neighbors. There's a flood of outright lies that came from the administration, Bush and the rest, about these trying to insinuate or sometimes actually state these charges distributed uncritically by the media, and it had an effect. If you look at polls within a couple of weeks by the end of September, on the order of about 60% of the population thought that Iraq is an imminent threat to the security of the United States. We have to stop him now or he'll come after us tomorrow. People are quoted as saying that in yesterday's Boston Globe. By now, about half the population believes that Iraq was behind September 11th and that Iraqis were on the planes. All of this is complete fantasy. There's nowhere else in the world where anybody believes a word of this, and there isn't a particle of evidence for it, but it is a spectacular achievement of government media propaganda, which has convinced people that they are in danger and that they must genuinely fear an Iraqi attack, which is going to destroy us, just as they tried to do in September 11th. Actually, if you look more closely, these attitudes are very highly correlated, as you'd expect, with support for the invasion. Again, that's unique to the United States. It's not true in the countries that were invaded by Iraq, like quite in Iran. In fact, it's not true anywhere. If you eliminate the element of fear in the United States, then opposition to the invasion is approximately the same as in other countries. That is overwhelming. What's different about the United States is it's attenuated because of the enormous fear in the United States. Well, what happened in the election? Answer, it barely worked. The Republicans did get approximately a statistical tie. You look at the numbers, it's roughly 50-50, but enough to, because of the way voting electoral patterns work in the United States, slightly to swing it to a Republican majority. If you look at post-election polls, they reveal that people maintained their preferences. They opposed the Republicans on the issues that are concerned to them, but they suppressed them in favor of huddling under the umbrella of power, which is what you do if you're frightened. So it worked, barely, and you can be reasonably confident that something similar will go on for the presidential election. Well, if we had serious commentary about these matters, there's something that would be discussed all over the place, and it really ought to come to your minds at once, and that is that for the people now in office, this is just second nature. They are almost entirely drawn from the Reagan and Bush number one administrations. The people now in office are essentially the ones who ran the country for 12 years. Well, you know, minimal sanity would dictate that if you want to figure out what they're doing now, you investigate their record. What did they do the first 12 years in office? It's not ancient history, after all. It's interesting that it's never done. You can do a little inquiry and see how often the level of minimal sanity is reached in commentary, which also tells you something. If you bother to take a look, you find out that the 12 years they were in office, they followed exactly the same script. The Reagan administration came into office in 1981, immediately plunged the federal government into a deep deficit, same thing that Bush number two did. Deep deficit this time was created by a huge tax cut for the very rich and the biggest increase in federal spending in 20 years. Happens to be quoting the Wall Street Journal. These people are not conservatives. They're defaming the honorable term conservative. They believe in a very powerful state. They're statist reactionaries. This is not conservatives. It's a different notion. So the biggest increase in federal spending in 20 years was, namely since the first time they came in, was natural.